It's the Morning Show on the Ideas Network. I'm John Munson in for Carrie Kaufman. A recent study published in the Sociological Quarterly found that the disproportionate placement of racial minorities into special education for learning disabilities has less to do with racial bias than it does socioeconomic status. A researcher joins us to explain why that could be and whether special education actually helps these students. Dara Schiffer is an assistant professor of sociology at Portland State University. She was lead author of a study that found that more minorities are labeled learning disabled because of their socioeconomic status. Professor, welcome to the Morning Show.
Good morning.
So your study explores why racial minorities are disproportionately labeled learning disabled. But first, can you quantify just how disproportionately racial minorities are represented here?
It depends on which disability you're talking about. This study was focused on learning disabilities, where you do see disproportionality. I think it's about 6% of white kids and maybe 8% of racial minorities. So it's it seems like a small difference, but the prevalence rates are low, so that's part of why.
Okay. So what did your study find?
Well, for a long time, as you were saying, the focus was on teachers as racially biased. And it kind of starts in that we want what's best for kids, and it's not clear that special education helps kids. And we know that the process of classifying kids with disabilities is subjective. So these are why researchers and policymakers have perceived racial disproportionality as being problematic. And there was a few researchers before 2005 saying maybe it's differences in student resources, but there wasn't really data to enable researchers to figure out what was driving disproportionality. And the distinction matters because it determines how the focus for the policy that's aimed at reducing disproportionality.
Mm-hmm.
So if you have better data and more sophisticated statistical techniques, it becomes evident that racial minorities are actually less likely to be identified. So these techniques basically group kids on the basis of their socioeconomic status, their achievement levels, and if you look within those groups of similarly resourced and achieving kids, the odds of classification are higher for white kids. But it's just that racial minority kids are much more likely to have fewer resources and lower achievement levels, so they're in that group with the highest likelihood of being classified.
Okay, so the socioeconomic status of a student, a strong predictor of academic achievement, and that's what's used to diagnose learning disabilities. So what can what does that mean for us in terms of education policy and what we should do next?
Well, so the emphasis has really been on cultural responsiveness, which I think puts teachers in a pretty hard place, because I interpret these findings as meaning that teachers are actually trying to reduce racial disproportionality, that they see a low-achieving racial minority kid, and they're not automatically saying, let's refer this kid for special education. They're saying, maybe this is a product of social disadvantage. I don't want to put this label of disabled on them. So that's how I interpret white kids' higher likelihood of being diagnosed. But basically, with cultural responsivity, teachers kind of face this impossible task of looking at struggling learners and trying to decide which one is struggling because of background differences and which is struggling because of neurological differences. Because these aren't diagnosed, they don't identify a biomarker. It's just based on achievement, behaviors, emotions, pretty subjective, socially rooted things. So I think the first thing that we need to do is be more honest about the scientific gaps and how kids are labeled disabled, so that kids don't, if they do get this label, they don't see it as sealing their destiny or saying something really concrete about them. And then I also see disproportionality as being rooted in achievement disparities and inequality, which is a product of racism outside of schools. So everything that research shows could improve achievement disparities, all the social services that are important for childhood development, living wages, health care, preschool, giving schools sufficient funding and staff to provide social services.
Mm-hmm. So if racial minorities aren't getting put in special education courses as often as white kids with similar achievement levels and backgrounds, could that mean that more racial minorities need to be put in special education classes?
That is an argument that has been put forward by other researchers, and it's pretty controversial because contemporary social scientists don't attribute racial differences in achievement to biological difference, and disability implies biological, neurological difference. So it becomes really tricky if you know that the achievement disparities are stark, then that could amount to labeling one quarter to a third of racial minority kids as disabled, neurologically different, deficient, putting a third into special education, which we know we don't have evidence that it's beneficial. So that is why that perspective has been so controversial.
Well, and this issue becomes all the more important because of the stigma associated with learning disabilities and the kind of thing that follows you then throughout the rest of your academic career, at least in the public school system.
That's exactly right. I have another line of studies that focuses on that. And if you take two kids, one, they have the same grades, they're in the same level of coursework, they have the same behaviors, but one ended up getting labeled at some point. My study showed that teachers had lower expectations for them, their parents had lower expectations for them, so that has incredible ramifications for their progress through high school and how they feel about themselves. So it is a big deal.
Could you just tell us a little bit, without getting too far into the academic weeds, can you just tell us a little bit about how your study was conducted?
Sure. It's a great data set. That's data that's collected by the federal government, so it's nationally representative. And that's been a big limitation in studies on disability, that there wasn't a lot of data. Previous researchers had to rely on state-level data and school district-level data, which is considered aggregate-level data, so you really shouldn't make student-level conclusions. So this data being nationally representative means that the findings that I see in the sample, I can say are generalizable to the nation, so that's really important. It's also longitudinal, so that enables you to establish cause and effect. And then statistical techniques is just basic regression modeling, and that enables you to it has really rich measures of background, and it enables you to kind of match kids based on common background to better understand what actually is driving them being classified. It enables you to consider multiple characteristics at the same time, whereas previous studies would consider just two characteristics, and then you don't really know what alternate explanations might be explaining what looks like an association.
What's been the reaction to the release of your findings?
I think it makes sense to people. I think in this context, everyone's worried about inequality, and this is a problem that's not going away. I think the dialogue, the U.S. is individualistic and doesn't feel comfortable talking about inequality, race, and poverty, especially within schools. I think there's pressure on teachers not to acknowledge the role that poverty plays, even if they know that it is a huge factor. So I just hope that schools become more willing to, and policymakers, to consider how fundamental inequality and stratification outside of schools is for outcomes inside schools.
All right. Thank you so much. Really appreciate your time. As we leave, just remind us again what you think we need to do to address the social issue of inequality.
We need to provide families and parents with the resources that enable them to help their children prepare for school, such as living wage, health care, preschool, and we need to provide schools with sufficient funding and staff to also supplement social services for kids that don't have access to them outside of school.
All right, that's a great place to leave us. Thank you so much, Dara Schiffer, Assistant Professor of Sociology at Portland State University, lead author of a study that found that more minorities are labeled learning disabled because of their socioeconomic status. Coming up next, September is National Suicide Prevention Awareness Month, and we'll talk about risk factors and other things related to suicide. I'm John Munson, in for Carrie Kaufman. It's the Morning Show on the Ideas Network.